Well, ladies, welcome back to the table. Glad you could join us. I'm here with our teacher, Connie Stampfel. Connie, welcome back.
Thank you.
So glad you are our Bible study teacher today. We are in 1 Peter. Ladies, you can open up your Bibles to chapter 3, verses 13 through 17. And so what I'm going to do is read those, and then Connie is going to teach. I'll step aside here. And 13 starts like this. Now who is there to harm you if you are zealous for what is good? But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed. Have no fear of them, nor be troubled, but in your hearts honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect, having a good conscience, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. For it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil.
All right. Thank you, Amy. Well, that last line there reminds us of Peter writing just a chapter before in 2:20, saying it's a gracious thing in the sight of God if you suffer for doing good. And so he's coming around to that again. We're really talking about learning what God's perspective is on suffering, kind of that eternal perspective. And right there in verse 13, Peter starts out by saying, now who is there to harm you if you are zealous, or actually that means enthusiastic or intensely going for a specific cause for good. And so if you are enthusiastic about doing good, who actually can harm you? And we're going to consider that because, yes, we could be hurt in our body. We could even be killed. But ultimately, can anyone really harm a child of God?
No.
No, we're sealed, we're saved, and we will spend eternity with God in heaven. So that's the framework to understand that, and it probably helps us understand how our fellow brothers and sisters around the world in Christ are able to suffer and die for Him.
Yeah, they certainly do get the grace from the Holy Spirit to do that when they need to.
Exactly, right. And it's not our own strength at all. It's always Christ. But Jesus himself told us something about persecution. One, to expect it, and then two, actually what some of the result would be for us believers. So Amy, if you would read a passage from Matthew 5, that's going to help us just understand a little bit, again, God's perspective on suffering.
Yes, this is from the Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, and we're picking it up in just a couple verses that Connie has here, 10 through 12, and it says, "Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And then again, it goes on to say, "Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you."
All right. And so in God's economy, suffering for doing good, suffering for Jesus Christ, is actually a blessing. And that word for blessing is makoi, and it actually means to be privileged or honored.
Yeah.
And so it's something God is actually bestowing on you. And I think we do know from accounts of people who have suffered great persecution, there's a joy in the Lord that they wouldn't have had otherwise, because everything else has been stripped away. But that's what Peter says in verse 14. He says, "But even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you will be blessed."
Yeah.
So we take that we hold on to that promise of the Lord. And then he says, have no fear of them. And Jesus had told us the same thing. He said, don't fear those who can kill the body, but fear my Father in heaven who's able to cast both body and soul into hell. And then he says, nor be troubled. And that reminds me of Jesus, some of the last words to his disciples, John 14. He said, do not be troubled. I've overcome the world.
Yeah.
Trust in me. And so that's what we hold on to. And then in verse 15, he says something very interesting. He says, but in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy.
Mm.
So, I don't know, Amy, could you explain, you think, what that means?
Oh, how long do we have? Well, in this 10-minute lesson, when I honor the Lord as holy, it means I look at myself as unholy and that he is perfect. And I just want to honor him by dying to self and then sharing who he is with people who don't know him, who are right now where I once was, and having that heart for them, that compassion, not because of anything that I have done that I can be saved, but honoring the only one who can save, and that's Christ Jesus. And the only reason he can is because he's God.
Exactly. And That's beautiful. That's what it is. It's knowing who God is and then giving our total devotion to Him. So we want what He wants. We love what He loves. We care about the lost because He cares about the lost.
Yes.
We desire to live holy lives because He is holy. And so we love and obey and are loyal to Him.
Yeah.
And by setting Him apart, that's what we're saying, you are more important than anything else.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And so that's going to help us also undergo persecution or difficulty. And then Peter goes on, he says, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that is in you. And that defense is actually the same word we get apology or apologetics. And it really means to make a legal defense. And so Peter is saying, when someone talks to you about Jesus, or if you're called into court because you believe in Christ, then again, we know Jesus said that through the power of the Holy Spirit, we would be given the words, but to make a good confession and to say those words. And we do have to remember, Peter was the disciple who disowned Jesus, denied Him three times. He knows how to make to not do this well, but he's also now instructing his beloved church and people to do this well and to be prepared. And so that's part of our homework this week, is I'm asking each one of us to write out our answer to, if someone says, why are you a Christian?
Oh, boy. We ought to have a very good answer for that, and we ought to have it right off the tip of our tongues, knowing that a watching world waits to understand who He is.
Exactly. Yeah. So hopefully each one of us can take that seriously, do that homework assignment, and have it tucked someplace where we can review it if we need to. And then Peter goes on and he says, yet do it with gentleness and respect, meaning do it with meekness and with a reverent fear. Mm. And again, as believers, we don't really accomplish God's word by being abrasive or acting superior or just being, you know, of the world. We need to do it the way God does. And that's a good thing. And then it says, having a good conscience or a clear conscience. And that's what happens when our sins are forgiven. Then we can go forward and do and say as best as we can what God would have us do, but knowing that our guilt is gone and we've been forgiven. A beautiful thing. And then we also find, it says, so Peter goes on and says, so that when you are slandered, those who revile your good behavior in Christ may be put to shame. And again, by our conduct, by our words, by our speaking of Christ and our hope that is in us, we will actually bring to shame those who would be against us and say things that are evil. And here, he also then goes on and says, for it is better to suffer for doing good, if that should be God's will, than for doing evil.
Mm.
And I think we come around to understanding God's will is always good. And even if it's a short-term suffering or pain or loss or even death, in God's economy, when we are brought home to heaven, that is a good thing. We know that in Romans 8:31, Jesus says, or Paul writes actually, that if God is for us, who can be against us? And that's really the situation we're in. We also know that some that suffering really helps us prepare for heaven.
Yeah.
And we hear Paul writing in 2 Corinthians about how that prepares for us an eternal weight of glory. And so we look to that, and we look forward to what God would have us do in the world. But just thinking about this section of scripture, and again, what Paul is writing to us, or Peter, I'm sorry, Peter's writing to us, I really think we need to focus in on, again, what would be that defense of the gospel and why we follow Jesus Christ.
And I think a lot of folks are nervous about that, especially if you've never done it before. So ladies, I just want to encourage you, do get the homework, because you'll be able to really put your thoughts down in a way that makes sense for you. Everybody's confession, everybody's style of apologetics is going to be a little bit different, and because we're all uniquely made it by God, and we all have different testimonies, but you know what? Knowing who He is, what He did for us, that He's coming back, that He loves us, that He does not want any of His children to perish, that we are to share Him with a waiting, watching world. It's so important to understand all of those elements of the gospel as well. All right, ladies, we're going to leave it here for right now. But when we come back, Nancy and I are going to talk a little bit more about this and maybe share a little bit of our own assignment. So you can help by maybe a little of example there. We will be right back.